You will find an authorized version of Holy Scripture in front of you in the pew. Pick it up and turn with me tonight to the 5th chapter of the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. Revelation at the chapter 5. I want to read with you tonight this full 5th chapter of the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereof. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts, and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the 4 beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Amen. And God will bless His holy word and stamp His seed upon it for Jesus' sake. I want tonight to bring to you a message on the seven snapshots of the Lamb of God in the Word of God. The Apostle John's Gospel and the Apostle John's Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, are the writings about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God in all His aspects is the very heart of the Gospel of God. Here is the center. Here is the circumference of divine revelation. The sum total of the Gospel's fullness. The revealed mystery of the message. Some years ago, I went to see Wesley's chapel in the London Road in London. And someone told the modernistic ecumenical minister of the church that I was present. So he came out to see the ogre from Belfast. And he said to me, "I'm very, very glad to welcome you, Dr. Paisley." I said, "That's amazing, and I'm very glad to be here." Now he said, "I want you to go up into Wesley's pulpit, and I want you to say something." I said, "I will be very glad to do so." So I walked up the pulpit stairs. It's a very high pulpit. I stood in the place where the founder of Methodism preached. And I shouted as loud as I could, and I can shout, I can assure you of that. "Happy if with my latest breath I may but gasp His name, preach Him in life, and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb. Amen." And I walked down the pulpit steps. He says, "How do you know that verse?" Well, I said, "I have been an ardent reader of both Wesley's diaries and his notes on his life story. And I have also learned to sing his hymns. I may not sing them in tune, but I get the air outside." He said, "You are a terrible man." I said, "You're not the first person that said that about me, nor the last person." And he said, "I want you to do something for me now." Well, I said, "As long as you're not asking me for money, I will do it." No, he said, "I'm not asking you for money." He said, "We had Margaret Thatcher here last week. She is a daughter of a Methodist lay preacher." I said, "I understood that. And she signed the book, our visitor's book." And he said, "I left purposely a blank page in the book so that the next person of interest that came to this church could sign that. Will you sign opposite Margaret Thatcher?" I said, "I'll do that with pleasure." So they brought the book, and they opened it, and the space was there, and I wrote the name of my wife's husband into it, and I put after it Ephesians 6, 19 and 20. "That utterance might be given unto me, that I might open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Preach Him in life and cry in death, behold, behold the Lamb." Some months ago, in my own personal reading of the Word, I was struck with the seven snapshots of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Holy Scriptures as the Lamb of God. And the first one you will find in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 6. The worthiness of the Lamb of God. The emphasis on His book. And in verse 6 of Revelation chapter 5, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. The worthiness of the Lamb, emphasis on His book. In Revelation chapter 5, we step into the great eternity, into the heaven of heavens, into the place where the lights of earth fade, and the bright shining of the perfect day of heaven is seen in all its fullness. We are in the glory ground of Emmanuel's land. May God this night open to us all a door into heaven. Anoint our eyes that we may behold and see the Lamb of God. In the Spirit we shall see the One sitting on heaven's throne. Oh, for a throne view of Almighty God, the being of God, not only His being, but the manifestation of His deity is like unto three most precious stones, the jasper, the sardine, and the emerald. The jasper stone is translucent. The sardine stone is red in color. The completed rainbow is described as an emerald. The emerald is a green stone, noting eternal and unfading freshness. The only true God, the Triune Jehovah, is viewed in this chapter in His blessed Trinity. And here we have God the Father first. And then we have God the Holy Spirit, depicted as seven lamps burning before the throne. Now, there are not seven Holy Spirits. There's only one Holy Spirit. But this is a spiritual typifying of the perfect Spirit, because seven in Scripture is the number of perfection. But then, having mysteriously introduced to us God the Father, and those stones of jasper, sardine, and the emerald, and having introduced to us the Spirit of God as the seven lamps and the seven eyes, we then come to God the Son. There is a throne. Around it sits 24 elders, robed in spotless white and crowned with golden crowns. These typify the church of all ages. 12 for the Old Testament, represented in the sons of Israel, and then 12 in the New Testament, the apostles of the Lamb. There is a sea of crystal before the throne, and circling the throne, four living creatures full of eyes before and behind. These are the mysterious cherubim of God. Check and compare Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, Ezekiel chapter 1, 5 to 14, and Ezekiel 10 and verse 20. These creatures speak of both creation and redemption, and they are constantly and continually and never ceasing worshiping before the throne and crying, "Holy, holy, holy," the triune praise of the triune God Almighty, which was, which is, and is to come. But on the right hand of God the Father, there is a book. It is written without and within, and it is sealed with seven seals. There is the challenge for some man in heaven, some man on earth, some man under the earth, to come and take that book from the hand of God, to break the seals, to look on the writing, and to read the book. But no man was found among the unnumbered millions of the inhabitants of heaven. No man was found in all the generations that lived on the earth. No poor soul in the darkness of that great eternity under the earth could be found who could do the task of opening the book and looking thereon. And then we read, there was a lamb as it had been slain. This word lamb is very, very important. It's the word here for a young lamb. A young lamb. Everywhere the word lamb is used of Christ in the book of the Revelation, it's the young lamb. Of course, the lamb is mentioned in John's Gospel, chapter 1 and 29, John's Gospel, chapter 1 and 36, Acts 8 and 32, and 1 Peter 1, 19. But it is another word for lamb, a full-grown lamb. But this is a young lamb. It's pointing us to the Passover lamb, because it was a lamb as if it was newly slain. Would you look with me at the text, and what does it say? It stood. How could a dead lamb stand? And the blood shed, the body falls, and lies there. But here we have a newly slain lamb standing in the midst of the throne. Why? Because this is the lamb in resurrection glory. He has fought the fight. He has shed his blood. He has kept the faith. He has discharged the duties as the surety of the elect people of God. And redemption is complete. And he stands in the midst of the throne and the crimson of his blood. He is the lamb, but he's also the lion of the tribe. But let's come a little farther. Let's come to John's Gospel, chapter 1, and verse 36. And there we read these words, and again, the next day after John stood, and two of his disciples, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Here we have the walk of the Lamb. with special emphasis on his beauty. The path which our Lord Jesus Christ walked emphasizes his beauty. How lovely our Lord looked as he walked. John the Baptist saw him as he walked, and he was struck with his outstanding beauty as he came out of the ivory palaces into this world of woe. He was the Holy Lamb of God, for holiness is divine beauty. The hands of Christ were beautiful because they were holy hands. The eyes of Christ were beautiful because they were holy eyes. The lips of Christ were beautiful because they were holy lips. The face of Christ was beautiful because his face was holy. He was harmless. He radiated help, not harm. That harmlessness of Christ was holiness, a further display of his infinite beauty. Further, Christ was not only harmless, he was undefiled. Here is the purity of the fruit of holiness, the flower of his undefiled human soul lit up his majestic person. The beauty of the Savior, for those that really saw him as he was, would dazzle them. He not only was holy and harmless and undefiled, he was separated from sinners. That separateness was his beauty. John viewed him as he walked, displaying the beauty of his holiness, the beauty of his harmlessness, the beauty of his undefiledness, and the beauty of his separateness. And as John looked on him, the blessed magnetism of the Holy Son of God caught him, and he cried, "Behold, see, concentrate on, look, glue your eyes on the Lamb of God." What a wonderful beauty broke forth. And when John baptized the Lord Jesus in the water of the river Jordan, God opened John's eyes, and he saw the only begotten Son of God. The beauty of Christ, the walk of the Lamb, the emphasis on his beauty. But let's look again. Here we have the work of the Lamb in verse 29 of John 1. "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He was the Lamb of God to do the work that only the Lamb of God could do. What was that work? The work of the Lamb did not buy us the love of God. I heard a foolish preacher saying that Christ had to die to buy for you the love of God. Utter nonsense. God loved me, and he gave his Son because he loved me. Christ didn't buy the love of God for us. What Christ did for us, he bought our ransom price so that God's love could be fully honoring the law and yet save you. God found a way whereby his banished would not always be expelled from him. And the only way it could be done, death must strike the sinner. And if it strikes not the sinner, it must strike the surety of the sinner. And Christ was the surety of the sinner. He took my place. Hallelujah. He died for me 10,000. Hallelujah. love of God, gave his son. Yes, said an old Puritan, when then thine eye of faith is dim, rest thou on Jesus, sink or swim, and at his footstool bow the knee, and Israel's God thy peace shall be. Praise God, he took away the sin of the world. But look again. In this chapter, we read the wonder of the Lamb. The emphasis on his blood. Stood a lamb as it had been slain. I've already mentioned this. John was told to wipe away his tears. Forget his weeping and turn to song. And as he turned and looked on the throne, he saw at the center of God's throne where the Holy Father and the Holy Spirit and the Holy Son were enthroned. There was a manifestation of the blood of the Lamb. Blood that never grew old, never congealed. Blood that was always the blood of the newly slain lamb. Oh, the bleeding lamb. Oh, the bleeding lamb. He was found worthy. What precious blood is this? The blood of the lamb is old, but it's ever new. From the heart and veins of the incarnate Son of God, there came forth a mighty torrent of redeeming, reconciling and regenerating blood. The blood is the life of the flesh. The blood of the life of Christ. The incorruptible, the immaculate blood, the impregnable blood of God our Savior was shed on Calvary. And I tell you tonight, there's power in the blood. An old preacher was asked, how did he know there was power in the blood? He said, I have experienced it. It washed all my sins away. See Spurgeon the day he went home from the little church in Artillery Street in Colchester, and it was snowing hard. And he looked at the snowflakes and he said, hear me, ye snowflakes. I am whiter than you. I've been washed in the blood. Whiter than the snow. Hallelujah. Whiter than the snow. When you're washed in the blood of the Lamb, you're whiter than the snow. Christ's life is infinite. His blood is infinite. Christ's life is eternal. The blood is eternal. Christ's life is unchangeable. The blood is unchangeable. For as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood. May God help you, dear sinner, to wash in that blood tonight. And may we all feel again its efficacy and its power. That's a great verse, isn't it, that I've just quoted to you. It's powerful blood, for it's incorruptible. It's precious blood. It's the life of God in solution. It's personified blood. It's the blood of the Lamb. It's perfect blood, it's without blemish. It's pure blood, it's without spot. It's planned blood, for it was foreordained before the foundation of the earth. And it's perceptible blood. It can be received and it can be seen. God sees the blood. When he sees the blood, he stands guard over you. At the death of Christ, his blood was perceptible, John 19:34-35, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came thereout blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith through, that ye might believe. His blood was perceptible at the resurrection. How did Christ rise from the dead? That great shepherd of the sheep rose from the dead. Listen to it. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant of God. The power that propelled Christ's body from the grave and crowned him with the honors of heaven was the power of the precious blood. It's perceptible. And it's perceptible when he's on the throne because he's a lamb. No, but as he's on the throne, he is a lamb newly slain. But let's come a little farther. As I read on in the book of Revelation, I find out about the war of the Lamb. The war of the Lamb. That emphasis is on his battle. It's on his battle. We have looked at the worthiness of the Lamb. Emphasis on his book. The walk of the Lamb, emphasis on his beauty. The work of the Lamb, emphasis on his burden. The wonder of the Lamb, emphasis on his blood. Now we come to the war of the Lamb, emphasis on his battle. These shall make war with the Lamb. Revelation 17:14. The Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called, and they're chosen, and they're faithful. The Bible is a book of battles, a chronicle of the Lord's war with Satan, sin, and death. The enemy of sin is not man. Man is the greatest ally that sin ever had. The enemy of sin is God, not man. God has declared and waged unceasing war on Satan. And he will continue to wage that war on Antichrist and on all rebellious men. The Lamb of God leads us into the battle, and there's no discharge in this conflict. And one day I will hear with this very ear that I hear tonight with when it's resurrected. I will hear a loud voice from heaven. Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by the battling Lamb, by the Lamb that declared war on the devil. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. But let us move on. We come then to the wife of the Lamb. Emphasis on his bride. And in Revelation 21:9 we read, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. The state of the church in heaven will be the finality of her state on earth. On earth, the church has two great distinctions. The first is grace. And the second one is glory. By grace we are saved. The church is a fellowship of those who are united together in and by the grace of God. In heaven the grace of God comes to its full fruition. No one will be in heaven by any effort of his own. You'll not get to heaven by your own self-worthiness. They don't sing, I am worthy. But they sing, thou art worthy, for the Lamb brings them to heaven. In the eternal theme of heaven's everlasting song, the saints give all the glory to God. Old Samuel Rutherford, the great covenanting preacher, said, grace, what is it? It is young glory. It's glory growing grace. But in heaven, grace will come of age. And then grace will not be in the bud, but grace will be in the full flower. And that will be the day that Christ will bring home his wife, the bride, the Lamb's wife. I wish I could talk to you tonight, but my time is more than gone on the great city. Go and look at it when you go home and try and find out seven characteristics of the city of God, the bride, the Lamb's wife. But finally, the wrath of the Lamb. Emphasis on his banishment. God's going to banish. Christ is going to banish men and women from his presence forever. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Revelation chapter 6:16. The greatest sin a man can commit is to refuse to believe on Jesus Christ as his Savior. That is the unpardonable sin. The sin of rejecting Christ for the last time is unpardonable. That's what the unpardonable sin is. The unbelief of sinners actually amazed Christ when he walked this earth. He was amazed at their unbelief. How terrible the sin which filled Christ even when he was on earth with amazement. The wrath of the Lamb and its eternal conscious banishment of the torments of the damned in the lake of fire is, men and women, a terrible truth. It's the truth that causes me to pray. It's the truth that urges me to preach with passion. It's the truth that makes me unhappy when I look at my fellow men as I pass them on the street. They're all fuel for the burning if God does not pluck them as brands from that burning, the wrath of the Lamb. It is that truth which tore from the lips of the greatest man in the universe this wheel that I'm talking about. They called on the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the wrath of the Lamb. Are you going to be among that crowd calling to be hidden from the wrath of the Lamb? What an inexplicable thing that sinful men who could be saved spurn the forgiveness of God. The very fact that all lost souls are speechless when sentence is passed upon them is the highest testimony to the righteousness of that final judgment of God, the wrath of the Lamb. Dear lost soul, in this service tonight, you will have to endure the wrath of the Lamb if you don't wash in the blood of the Lamb. The worthiness of the Lamb, emphasis on his book. The walk of the Lamb, emphasis on his beauty. The work of the Lamb, emphasis on his burden. The wonder of the Lamb, emphasis on his blood. The war of the Lamb, emphasis on his battle. The wife of the Lamb, emphasis on his bride. The wrath of the Lamb, emphasis on his banishment. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, the bleeding Lamb. Oh, the bleeding Lamb, he was found worthy to take the book, to loose the seal, to broke the head that bruised his heel. He was found worthy. Come and kneel at the cross. Wash and be clean. And then one day you will be part of the bride of the Beloved as he brings us home to the Father's house, where there will be no parting, or no more pain, or no more sorrow. We used to sing in Sabbath school, in my Father's house, there'll be no sorrow there. Join us on the road to heaven tonight, dear sinner friend. Come to the cross. Look your eyes away and looking at the wounds of Jesus. For there, and there alone, is pardon, peace, and life everlasting. May God save you from the wrath of the Lamb. May God wash you in the blood of the Lamb, is my earnest prayer, God being my witness. Let's bow our heads. Father, tonight we thank thee for the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I'm glad that on the 29th day of May, 1932, you washed me in the Son's most precious blood, washed in the blood of the Lamb. And I proved the power of that blood all down through these many years, through good report and ill report. I thank you that the blood never ceased to bring peace, never ceased to bring pardon, never ceased to bring hope, and never ceased to give blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. For sinners in this meeting, draw them to Christ. For backsliders, restore them. And for your people, may we swear allegiance afresh to the blessed Lamb of God and vow that we will go out from this day and serve Him with all our hearts, with all our souls, and with all our minds. And the people of God said, Amen.